From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Last week, the Obama administration announced big new tariffs on imports of solar panels made in China, from 30 to 250% tariffs. American manufacturers cheered. American installers and some green energy advocates did not. Solar will now be more expensive. It's a very interesting and highly charged dilemma this hour on Point. What do we need more, to go green or buy American? You can join the conversation. What matters more to you? Saving U.S. jobs, stopping Chinese dumping, fixing global warming? What's the right way here? You can comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Joining me first today from Xi'an in China is Keith Bradshaw, Hong Kong bureau chief for The New York Times. He's covered international trade for years and has been following this solar story since the start. Keith, thanks very much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me on the show.
So tell us just what happened last week.
The Commerce Department, after a review that started last November, finally decided how much it thought Chinese companies had been underpricing their solar panel exports to the United States. And it ended up coming up with a figure for most, or virtually all of the Chinese industry, of 31%. Now, that means that there will be a 31% tax on Chinese solar panels as they arrive at American ports. That figure 31%, though, is subject to a review by the Commerce Department later this year. So it's not the final number, but they do start collecting the tax almost immediately.
Keith, remind us what happened in recent years around the solar panel manufacturing industry, how big and how strong China waded into this industry, and how they did it.
China was a nobody in the international solar industry for about 30 years, and then just in the past 5 years, they've gone from being a negligible player to accounting for about three-fifths of the world's production capacity, and just about half of the solar panels that were installed in the United States last year were made in China. How did China do it? They did it through a very broad set of incentives for companies to manufacture solar panels in China. Now, that's different from the kind of policies you saw in the United States and Europe, which were aimed at getting individuals and businesses to buy solar panels. So those incentives were for the customer who was buying them. In China, the incentives were for the manufacturer who was producing the solar panels. And the ways they did it, the most important was that the state-owned banking sector was told that they should give priority to lending to solar panel companies, to the point that you even had senior bank officers going and visiting fairly tiny solar panel companies in China, eagerly asking them, look, can we lend you money? Because they've been told to meet various targets in terms of how much they lent to the solar industry. You also had municipalities and provinces in China providing land at very affordable or discounted prices for the solar panel companies and various other incentives. Now, that raised controversies then on whether these incentives met the World Trade Organization and U.S. law standards for or whether or not they were export subsidies, which are not allowed.
So they waded in very strong. It's right there in the five-year plan, green energy, solar energy. Lots of material support for the industry in China. Do the tariffs slapped on last week, subject to review, as you say, but nevertheless, and we hear people on this side saying they were bigger than people expected, 31% is a pretty strong tariff. Does that mean the U.S. has said China has been dumping solar panels?
Yes, this is a preliminary determination by the Commerce Department that the Chinese have been dumping solar panels. One point worth mentioning is that this was not really the Obama administration so much as it's a civil servant process at the Commerce Department mm-hmm. that is making these decisions. The United States, unlike practically everywhere else in the world, has a a system for assessing anti-dumping penalties that is very insulated from political pressures. The reason is back in the 50s and 60s, there were a lot of frictions in which the Democratic and Republican administrations allegedly did not pursue anti-dumping complaints against American allies in the Cold War so as to keep them on the United States' side against the Soviet Union. So Congress in the 70s changed the laws and set up a system that presidents and their appointees have limited influence over so as to make it as nonpartisan as possible, and that's done at the Commerce Department by these civil servants who make these calculations of whether or not dumping is occurring.
Keith, in these last years, a lot of us have watched the news of solar panel manufacturers basically closing up shop in the U.S. and solar manufacturing moving to China. What about the impact on U.S. industry over this time?
A lot of U.S. industry, a lot of the U.S. solar industry has had difficulties. There have been a dozen companies in the United States that have either shut down entirely or have cut back on employment. The world's largest solar research laboratory is now here in Xi'an. It's owned by an American company, Applied Materials, although they have other very advanced laboratories in the United States as well. So there has been an effect. Now, that said, the solar industry is a lot more than just manufacturing solar panels. It also includes all the people who install solar panels. And many of these installers in the United States say that they want access to inexpensive solar panels from China. They say that one reason why installations of solar panels have been rising steeply in the past 3 years in the United States is that the price tag has been coming down, and a big part of it's coming down is the rapid expansion in China and the economies of scale that has produced.
Is China going to take this lying down if it is a 31% tariff? Or do we have trade war here? What do you see coming?
I asked a senior Chinese energy policymaker exactly that question middle of last week, and his answer was that there would be, quote, certainly, unquote, an anti-dumping complaint by Chinese manufacturers of solar panels against American chemical companies that produce polysilicon. Polysilicon is the main material that you use to make those beautiful blue, beautiful blue shade of material solar panels, and so we could see the beginnings of a tit for tat dispute here over various materials in the renewable energy sector.
Keith Bradshaw with the New York Times in China, in Xi'an today, Solar Central there. Keith, it's always great to talk with you. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
We're looking at big new U.S. tariffs on Chinese solar panels this hour. Joining me now from Baltimore is Clyde Prestowitz. He was a counselor to the Secretary of Commerce in the Reagan administration, a top U.S. trade negotiator in Asia and beyond. He's president of the Economic Strategy Institute, blogs at foreignpolicy.com, and he's a fan of the new tariffs. We're going to hear in just a moment from an environmentalist who is not, but Clyde, I'm going to come first to you. Welcome back. Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, Tom. How are you?
I'm well, and very glad to have you with us, Clyde. What do you think of this move to slap a good-sized tariff on a great big flow of solar panels from China?
Well, I think Keith explained it very well. I think it's important to recognize that this is not anything new. We've been through this kind of experience many times over the past 30, 40 years in the case of consumer electronics with Japan, semiconductors with Japan, machine tools with Japan, other similar disputes with Korea and Taiwan. So this is kind of, you know, a repetition of phenomenon that you see frequently. And you see it because, as Keith explained, a government, in this case China, decides that it is going to make its industry into a major player in some industry. And it does that by subsidizing that industry, which then, of course, distorts market forces and results in damage to competing industries, in this case, the U.S. industry.
But in this case, Clyde, and we'll look at all of it, but aren't there competing interests here? I mean, the cost of outfitting a typical home today, about $20,000, that has fallen by about half of what it cost years ago.
The installers of it's always the case that the distributor or the installer of the dumped product, because he or she is being also subsidized by that Chinese policy, they like it. But it's a short-sighted policy. The premise of the of those who support the dumping is that the dumping will keep prices down and that will rapidly expand adoption of solar technology.
Mm-hmm.
But they assume that these prices are going to stay down forever. But in fact, leaders of the Chinese industry have already said that these prices are not sustainable and that as soon as the industry is rationalized, which means they get rid of weaker players, the prices go up. And we've seen that, as I said, in the past. You know, there was a period when Japanese television sets, you could buy them for nothing in the U.S.
Yep.
Well, once the American producers were gone, the prices went up. So this is it's a very short-sighted perspective, and we have to keep in mind that we have more than one objective. You know, part of our objective, I was with the president a couple of years ago when he said, why can't we make solar panels in America? Part of our objective is to adopt solar panels. Part of it is to have the technology to be able to produce them and create those jobs.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point, and we're talking this hour about big new U.S. tariffs on Chinese solar panels. And the question of the greater good here, to go green cheaply with Chinese imports, at least for now, or to buy American. Lots of talk about this on the campaign trail and beyond. In March, it was President Obama. At that time, he was announcing that he was filing a trade infringement case against China at the World Trade Organization. This one was about precious metals, not solar panels, and about China hoarding, not dumping. Different cases, but the Obama administration says it comes down to the same issues, pushing back at the Chinese way of free trade and protecting America's energy sector.
We've got to take control of our energy future, and we can't let that energy industry take root in some other country because they were allowed to break the rules. So our administration will bring this case against China today, and we will keep working every single day to give American workers and American businesses a fair shot in the global economy.
You're very likely to hear more about this on the campaign trail. Governor Mitt Romney's been talking about it a lot all the way back in November. He talked to Fox News about how to handle China and protect the U.S. economy.
China wants to take advantage of every opportunity they have. I understand that. But at some point, you have to have someone stand up and say, look, you've got to play by the rules. You don't play by the rules, there'll be consequences. My guess is they'd rather play by the rules than engage in a trade war with a nation that is buying a lot more from them than they do from us.
So there's the question this hour. What do we want here? What's the top priority? Clyde Prestowitz is with us, former top U.S. trade negotiator. He's now president of the Economic Strategy Institute. With us right now as well from Denver, Colorado, we're joined by Ned Harvey. He's chief operating officer at the Rocky Mountain Institute, nonprofit, advocates for energy efficiency and sustainability. He also manages the Institute's solar initiative. He's co-author of Reinventing Fire, Bold Business Solutions for the New Energy Era. Ned Harvey, thank you very much for being with us from Denver.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me today.
What do you think of the new tariffs?
Well, you know, all of us who are involved in the solar industry have had to get educated on international trade issues because, you know, to date, it's just been a matter of trying to get as much renewable energy into customers' hands as they want. And as energy is a global industry, obviously, all the players need to become more and more aware of global issues. So it's been very interesting. I think I look at it as not necessarily a anti-dumping or a trade issue as the flushing out of the dynamics of a global supply chain. Obviously, if you're an advocate for renewable energies in the United States, and right now the dynamic is all about cost to the customer, you don't want to see anything that adds cost. So we're not a fan of the tariffs. However, in terms of whether it's fair or not fair to U.S. Cell manufacturers, it's hard to make a statement because nobody really understands what the motivation of China is. I think it is a mistake, and I think I quote Clyde here in an earlier blog he wrote, to think that China plays by the same rules we play in international trade. They have got a very interesting dynamic in that country. They are growing faster than, or have been recently growing faster than any other country in the world. And And that's not quite true. Actually, there's probably some smaller companies. Countries are growing, but large industrial companies are growing fast. And they've got some massive energy challenges. So what they do with their renewable energy industries is, I believe, far more to support their own growth and the needs of their own growth of the long term so that they don't run into the same troubles that the industrialized West has run into. Now, obviously, because it's a global industry, what they do for China impacts the rest of the world.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say net-net in the United States, where cost is the driver, it's a bad deal for renewable energy and renewable energy advocates, and it's a bad deal for customers that would like to take the advantages of solar, which across the country more and more every day is becoming competitive with your retail electricity rates.
We'll get into all the underlying issues here, but describe for us, if you would, Ned, what has the effect of these low solar panel prices out of China been on American adoption of solar energy, solar panels? Do we see a lot more up on rooftops because China's been pumping them out at low cost?
We see a lot more solar adoption in the United States on rooftops for a variety of reasons. Yes, one is one big driver is that module prices have gone down globally. But more importantly, that's been integrated in with reductions in the cost throughout the entire system. We've been working very hard in America to reduce the costs in the dollar per watt installation that have nothing to do with the module as well. There's been massive efforts across the country to reduce those costs, as well as the cost to get projects started and financed. Those have traditionally been some of the biggest barriers versus cost. But all in, you have to look from when the polysilicon is created all the way down to when the last switch is flipped on the house. You have to reduce the cost across that entire supply chain to drive adoption in the United States, at least for the near term, while cost is the primary driver.
If this tariff kicks in, 31%, maybe more, some earlier stuff, 2 and 4%, and maybe bigger on top of that, what do you think the impact will be on solar adoption, on the number of families, households, businesses putting panels on the rooftop?
Well, I think near term it's not going to have any effect on in the near term costs. One, because I think there's a lot of inventory of panels and cells in the United States that they'll work down, so they it'll take a while for the new, more expensive ones bought from China to hit the supply chain. But more importantly, I think it just adds another source of uncertainty into that entire system right now, which puts a real challenge on project developers that are trying to figure out what to do and how to cost their systems, to financiers who are looking at financing these. Uncertainty is one of the major barriers, and this is just another source of uncertainty in an industry that doesn't need uncertainty.
Well, look at net job creation here. I mean, installation are jobs too, though not manufacturing. And Clyde, I'll come to you, but we've got callers. Andy in Framingham, Massachusetts. Andy, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Tom. I've actually called in about this subject before, and we've talked about solar panels. I used to work for Evergreen Solar out here in Massachusetts, and I have a few observations to make about what's going on here.
Okay.
When the factory opened, the price of panels was about $350, and the market or the model that they use is they expected the panel price to go down to about $2 a watt in 2014, and instead they were there in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
Our CEO told us that they would go to trade shows, and they actually had a Chinese CEO admit that they were selling their panels below cost to get market share. And people would tell the CEO, yeah, you make a great product, it's very good, but the Chinese panels are cheaper. The Evergreen factory actually met all its targets, you know, as far as what they told Wall Street they would do, as far as price point, production capacity.
And this was an American manufacturer with plenty of government investment in it on this side, right?
Well, they had some government guaranteed loans. Mm-hmm. They never used all of them. In fact, they never even needed those loans. They were offered to Evergreen in order to get them to locate up at the Devens facility, where they became an anchor facility for a new industrial park.
Yeah.
So they gladly took the money, but they didn't need it because they were well capitalized. One of the other things...
they're out of business now.
Yeah, they're out of business now. Now, the executives went down to D.C. in 2009 begging the Obama administration for help, got nowhere during when the prices were dropping. And the interesting thing, shortly before the factory closed, the government slapped tariffs and imported aluminum from China. And we were using some aluminum products in the construction, or Chinese aluminum products in the construction of the solar panels. And all of a sudden, we were just running around trying to make sure that any panels we made that used Chinese aluminum were for export only. and we had to use domestic aluminum for products that were being made in the U.S.
So, Andy, bottom line, are we going to have an American solar manufacturing industry without some kind of tariffs on Chinese products?
No. As far as I'm concerned, I mean, my company went out of business, and you know, here we are. And as far as I'm concerned, this whole tariff thing is too little too late for a lot of U.S. manufacturers. It certainly is too late for Evergreen.
Andy, I appreciate your call. I want to take it all to Clyde Prestowitz. Clyde, I mean, you hear Ned's concern. He wants adoption. He wants panels all over rooftops to get cleaner energy going in this country. But there's Andy, who worked for a big one, Evergreen Solar, in the U.S. It's gone under Chinese competition.
Look, I think that we all want adoption, and I think the issue here is not really will we get adoption. It's what we'll get adoption of which panels. This is a fight over market share.
But cost is a big deal in adoption, and cost has gone down a lot.
But let's look at cost. Mm-hmm. Cost is related to scale of production. Mm-hmm. So the Chinese have been wrapping up the scale mm-hmm. of production, and they're getting economies of scale, and they're dumping into the U.S. market.
Tom, can I clarify one thing, please?
One second.
U.S. producers, if the tariffs, mm-hmm. which should allow the U.S. producers to increase their production, if the U.S. producers are able to increase their production, their costs will fall because they will get higher economies of scale, number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, you know, there's also a lot of research and new development going on in this industry. And whether or not the panels that we're adopting today are the ones that we're going to have in 3 or 4 or 5 years is an open question. But the more that you have destruction of the U.S. industry, the less R&D, the less experimentation, the more distortion you get, not only in the market, but also in the technological path of development.
Ned Harvey?
Yeah, I'm sorry. One of the things I think we need to clarify here is that the tariffs are only on solar cells, which are the small rectangular cells within a panel.
But it's the primary ingredient of the solar panel.
It is the primary ingredient. And so, if you think about how this industry will work at scale with big adoption, it's not likely that we'll be assembling these large modules with glass on them in China and shipping them to the United States. The supply chain is going to rationalize, so the panel production is going to happen as close to the actual endpoint of installation. Probably on a regional basis, and that's likely to happen. We would have thought it happened over the next several years.
What's the significance of that in terms of value creation and job creation? Doesn't it still put a lot of jobs in China that could have been here?
Well, it does right now because most of the panel manufacturing jobs are in China. It is now going to let them or sort of force them to set up an infrastructure where they import their cells to avoid the duty to China and strengthen their module assembly which is labor-intensive, or not as labor-intensive as the downstream installation side, but is labor-intensive in China, as opposed to, which I would have preferred if the solar industry, the solar cell manufacturers advocated to say, let's work with China to bring their panel manufacturing to the United States, work with them to purchase cells from China and other countries as well as the United States, and bring panel manufacturing jobs plus pull-through from cell manufacturing jobs in the United States to Chinese manufacturing plants or Chinese-owned manufacturing plants or Chinese-invested manufacturing plants in the United States. I think a co-opetition kind of approach by the United States government and industry would have been a far better thing for the world's energy economy than this tit-for-tat approach that comes from traditional trade negotiations.
Clyde, what about it? Don't whack them with the tariff. Work with them.
Well, I'm sympathetic to Ned's point there, but my experience as a trade negotiator tells me that typically the way you get to eventual co-opetition is through this kind of adversarial process. If you remember back in the 80s when the Japanese were taking over a large shares of the U.S. auto industry, eventually we got to a situation in which the Japanese invested in auto plants in the U.S. and now make a large portion of their autos in the U.S. and employ a lot of Americans. But it didn't happen through a cooperative discussion. It happened because we imposed tariffs and quotas on imports of Japanese cars and effectively forced them to move production to the U.S. I think that I view this tariff as probably the first step in a process that will lead to something close to what Ned's talking about.
Interesting. Nashville, Tennessee. John, you're on the air.
Thanks, Tom. I just wanted to ask your guest, has the U.S. ever looked at the models over in China and applied them, or the investments that the government made into the China industry for the private industry, looked at replicating that model and just instead of focusing on being divisive through, you know, tariffs or anything else that we seem to be doing these days, look at just investing strictly into it, into the United States, create a job stimulus and put it into motion and get jobs created. It seems to me that, you know, the president says he wants to, you know, make these things grow, but, you know, these types of things could be implemented pretty simply in their capitalistic models, which is pretty amazing to me in China to be creating those things. That's a communist country. So,
hey, John, let us pick it up right there. Clyde, how about it? Why leave it to China? You know, get the U.S. government involved and support it here, win it here, whatever it takes.
On the one hand, the Obama administration has done some of that. There have been various incentives made available to various parts of the solar industry to invest and to produce in the U.S. But typically, this is a little difficult for the U.S. to do. We always get into the issue of is the government picking winners and losers? Are there subsidies based on political preferences? And in any case, the scale of what the U.S. government has been able and willing to do is so much smaller than the scale of what the Chinese are doing.
And, of course, it gets controversial right away, if I may. I've got a little tape here from Republican Senator Paul Ryan. He was just on Sunday on Fox News attacking the Obama administration for its version of and the case of Solyndra, where the U.S. government did get involved in supporting U.S. Manufacture, and it went bad.
What President Obama is doing is he's gambling with taxpayer money and giving money to corporate contributors, to campaign contributors like Solyndra, and he's losing taxpayer money. So what we have with the Obama administration is this crony capitalism, this corporate welfare, where President Obama thinks it's right that we take taxpayer dollars to give to private companies and take bets on these private companies. That's wrong.
There's Senator Paul Ryan saying no thanks to all that. I mean, Ned, it sounds as though you kind of liked what was going on before these tariffs. But what if Clyde's right? What if China would never, you know, cooperate without some American pushback here? They just gobble up this industry, make it their own, and then the green future is theirs.
Well, one, I think, and few people recognize this, there is a pretty significant trade surplus from United States goods in solar or PV materials going from the U.S. to China. So they're very dependent on U.S. products.
For now.
But I think that's going to be the case for some time. And
I
there
can
is.
Just a minute. I think that surplus is gone, Ned.
Well, the last analysis that anybody's done is. Yeah, it could be, but the last analysis anybody's done would say that it's a $400 to $900 million surplus.
I see that number, but I think that's gone.
Those things can swing in a hurry.
Swing in a hurry. But I think the more important thing is, and I want to go back to this idea of the U.S. investing. The U.S. is pretty limited in how it can invest in commercial enterprise in the United States, U.S. government. And what they typically do, and they've done this for years, is they invest in the early stage phase of what they consider to be important technologies. And the vision for the U.S. DOE, especially on solar, is that at scale, when we're talking about putting 50 to 100 gigawatts of solar into our energy system a year, which is 50 to 100 times what we do now, it is a massive job creator in the United States and a massive source of economic wealth. So they invest in the early stage processes to get them through commercialization.
That's the U.S. policy. But now we heard from Keith Bratcher. He's out in Xi'an. And Applied Materials has R&D going on there. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. We're talking this hour about big new U.S. tariffs on Chinese-manufactured solar panels. And the question of the greater good here, to go green cheaply with Chinese imports or to buy American and look out for American jobs. Real tension right there. Ned Harvey is with us this hour from the Rocky Mountain Institute Environmental Group in Denver, Colorado. Clyde Prestowitz, president of the Economic Strategy Institute, former top U.S. trade negotiator, is with us today from Baltimore. Here a listener writes, difficult issue. On the one hand, U.S. solar panels, this is at our website, solar panels are being killed by China flooding U.S. with below-cost panels. On the other hand, fixing, quote-unquote, this issue through tariffs is causing China to respond in kind, and many U.S. solar panel installers may go out of business due to higher costs. Wyatt's ready to sort of bring the Chinese model here. Says we need to subsidize the industry here until it's off the ground. Then we'll be buying American, building our industrial infrastructure, creating jobs, going green, decreasing our reliance on foreign energy and fossil fuels in general. Bring on the American subsidies, he says, but that's controversial. Clyde Prestowitz, Ned Harvey, please stand by. I want to bring into our conversation right now from Hillsboro, Oregon, Gordon Brinzer. He's president of Solar World Industries America, the largest U.S. manufacturer of solar panels. It's also very contemporary, very global country. It's a German-owned company, plants in the U.S. and Germany, has a worldwide staff of 3,000, 1,100 workers in the U.S., pushed hard for these new tariffs. Gordon Brinzer, thanks very much for being with us.
Hi, Tom.
What have you won with these new tariffs, if they're confirmed?
Well, this is a bellwether case, and it really does underscore the importance of domestic manufacturing to the U.S. economy, specifically around solar panels. And with the decision by the U.S. Department of Commerce and their preliminary anti-dumping finding, this is a very positive step in the process, and it's in line with what we expected. This will start reestablishing a rational market, a free market, into the U.S. solar industry.
What's been the impact in recent years of the Chinese government's big support of its solar manufacturing?
You see it very clearly with, over the last 2 years, we've had 12 U.S. manufacturers that have gone out of business, have been downsided, have laid off large amounts of American workers, and Solar World has been impacted also by these illegal practices. Where once the U.S. was 50% of the world's solar products, today we manufacture less than 5. Solar was invented here in the U.S., and Solar World was one of the pioneers in the industry here in the U.S. through our predecessory industry associates, and we built a manufacturing industry here that could compete on a global market that was free from government interventions.
Without these tariffs, what do you see coming?
I think what's important here is looking forward that, you know, the U.S. Department of Commerce has really confirmed that the Chinese manufacturers are guilty of illegally dumping solar panels into the U.S. market. And this will work towards, it's a step towards reestablishing a free marketplace where there is strong global competition that wants to play by fair and free global trade rules.
But if these tariffs aren't confirmed, and they still have to be confirmed, what do you project for solar manufacturing in the U.S.?
You know, this is a preliminary step along the process, mm-hmm. the final determinations towards the end of the year. We have a very strong case. 3 times now the U.S. Government has confirmed there has been illegal activities. First with the anti-dump, with the countervailing duty, where they said there is 10 categories of illegal subsidies occurring in China with the Chinese solar industry. Now they've come out with the anti-dumping ruling. So a very strong indication and very positive results as far as there is illegal activities. We expect the case to move forward as the Department of Commerce does more investigation into the non-transparent practices of the Chinese industry. We'll see even more positive results as we get to the final determination. Overall, in the U.S. market, demand is strong, and demand will remain strong. As your previous speaker, Mr. Harvey, had mentioned, you know, there are a variety of reasons out there for demand. And our argument, and we see that demand, and many people out there see demand's really driven by many factors, pricing not being the primary driver of demand. So you'll still see a very strong demand. You will see strong manufacturing jobs, strong supply chain jobs, and strong installer jobs as we move forward.
Well, so you say, but a lot of installers are really worried about this. I mean, we've seen the price of solar panels for a home come down to about half of what it cost 2 or 3 years ago. I'm reading here $20,000, more or less, typical home today. Plus there's tax credit, 30% tax credit for a few more years here. I mean, you know, what's to say that we won't see a slowdown? Are these prices going to go up by the same 31% that we see in the tariff or some smaller number than that, Gordon?
I think what we've seen in the last 12, in the year of 2011 alone, a 50% decline in the wholesale pricing of solar panels. We have not seen the same exact decline on the retail market out there. So the consumers have not seen the full impact of the dump prices. And again, you know, I have to continue to state the U.S. Department has confirmed that these are illegally dumped solar products in the U.S. market. You know, we brought the case on to stop the free fall and distortion of pricing in the market, and we want to let the market set the natural pricing. You know, I cannot predict what those prices will be. The natural market and a free market will set those pricing out there based upon natural demand and supply factors.
Let's go to Steve, calling from Cambridge, Massachusetts. Steve, you're on the air.
Tom, I see this as a bigger issue. Mm-hmm. Everyone in the United States certainly would like to bring American jobs back to this country, but almost everything we have is made abroad. I mean, all of our smartphones, our running shoes, our furniture, a lot of our automobile parts.
And our trade deficit.
Yes, and if we start, you know, putting tariffs on, you know, starting with solar panels, but what about all the other stuff? How are American consumers going to react, especially low-income consumers who are going to see big price jumps in all of their products that they buy?
Clyde Prestowitz?
Tom, I think that the point that Gordon made earlier is very important. This is not a policy of raising tariffs across the board. This is a response to a complaint about illegal activity. And the Commerce Department has found that under the trade laws of the WTO and under the trade laws of the United States, the Chinese were violating the law, and so they are imposing a tariff as a penalty to compensate for that. Think about it this way. If I steal your watch and I sell it to Ned for $10, you know, your $500 Rolex, I sell it to Ned for $10. Ned's happy. I'm happy. I made some money on it. And you're not happy.
We get the legal picture, and I don't think anybody doubts it, most likely, but it doesn't really blow Steve's question off the table here, Clyde. I mean, if you do this across the board vigorously, there's always choices.
Listen, these laws are in place in order to maintain markets. We believe that long-term, fundamentally, market-based solutions are the most efficient, most effective way to grow the economy. So these rules are in place in order to maintain the effective working of the market. And if you, sure, you can violate a rule and provide some kind of immediate benefit as a result of that violation. But that has long-term consequences. And the point I made earlier, one of the long-term consequences is that once the violation results in a monopoly, the prices go up. So it's a mirage to imagine that we're going to live in a world in which the Chinese or anybody else will indefinitely supply these products at prices below the cost of manufacture.
Let me go to Paul in Seabrook, New Hampshire. Paul, you're on the air.
Yes, I come in from the development investment side, and the price of the panels is really what created what they call grid parity, which is making the production of solar competitive now with other types of producing energy.
Yeah.
The tariff seems to be pushing us in the wrong direction in an industry that is still trying to gain some traction and become more commonplace. I don't understand how your panel can think that this is going to have a good long-term effect. This is not a consumable product. It is more of a money-producing product that benefits us ultimately in the end.
The cheaper energy source, the clean and cheaper energy.
Correct. These things last for a long time. It's not like buying it's a wrong comparison and using, tariffs on TVs from Japan. That's a consumable product. This is a money, in essence, a money-producing product.
Paul, let me pick it up right there. Ned, I mean, you write in the Rocky Mountain Institute that it's still a fragile time for this industry. Anything that raises the cost within the supply chain or to the end customer needs to be viewed as a potential threat to continued market expansion. That is green, clean solar energy coming in.
Right. I'd love to see the data that Gordon talked about that says that cost isn't driving this market. Everything indicates that this retail cost parity is what's driving the market.
That is cheap Chinese solar.
No. That is a cheap supply chain of solar that combines both trying to get cells and panels as inexpensively as possible, as well as squeezing every penny you can out of the whole rest of the supply chain. So
you don't think that drives consumer adoption?
I do think that cheap panels is a big factor, as the last caller said. But I think, to Steve's point, this is really the tip of a bigger issue, which is where policy crossroads happen. We have a nation that is, and our energy system is aging and decrepit. It needs to be replaced. It's going to cost more to replace it. It ought to be redesigned with modern design standards as we replace it. And from a policy perspective, you know, we ought to be looking at what the energy system of the future looks like. And at RMI, we think it should look like a distributed renewable system with lots of efficiency.
So great. So let's do that. But build it here.
Well, build what you can build economically here. I'm all for that. But we haven't proven to be able to build these cells economically here because of the nature of the supply chain right now. The panels are being
built economically because they're not being built economically in China either. Remember, they're being built below cost. They're being subsidized. So if you only get to this traction on cost parity through continual subsidy, it's not sustainable.
But that's one tiny little piece of the entire supply chain. It's an important piece, but it's a tiny piece,
well, no,
and it's becoming smaller and smaller as we move forward. Think of all the jobs that we'll lose if we don't do this, in terms of the people that are crawling around on roofs, the people that are designing these, the financiers that are putting money here. We're talking about an energy economy that dwarfs every other economy we have in the United States, and if solar grows to be a significant part of that, it's going to drive more jobs in every sector of this economy. To look at it short term, based on whether it's functionaries in Washington, D.C. that are looking at it or not, this has a political element. It's being politicized. And real issues are not being discussed. What do we want as a country for our energy economy? What role do we want U.S. to play in it? What part of the supply chain should we be in? That's what the conversation should be.
Well, but cost parity is very important to that, right? If solar energy can flow into the grid at some cost that's got some parity to other sources, then you can imagine a very wide adoption. If that's dependent on cheaper Chinese manufacturing, is it a sustainable new balance that you're striking?
It's dependent on a cheaper supply chain. Chinese manufacturing is a piece of it. I think that you shouldn't think about this like the auto industry, because then that's a consumer product. This is the electricity that comes out of anything is a commodity, and it's competing against highly commoditized industries. The electrical infrastructure in the United States is commoditized. The oil infrastructure. It's interesting. Clay Christensen's coming out in the next hour. We should talk to him about this. But the solar industry is trying to disrupt an entrenched industry that is so tightly ingrained that it's going to be incredibly difficult, and you're going to have to use cost to get in first. And if the solar industry doesn't recognize that and doesn't fight cost until it can create value around other elements, which are potentials, but they're down the road a couple of years, it's going to be in big trouble. And that's going to be a massive loss of potential jobs to the U.S. and I think a pretty significant loss in terms of our energy policy.
Clyde, maybe this is an important inflection point in the energy side of this, and it's worth it to keep that Chinese subsidy flowing into the American system right now to get this cost parity that lets clean energy get itself established, Clyde.
Well, I don't see how it really does that. I mean, again, you come back to if the scale of production rises in the U.S., costs will fall, as they have in China. And so from my perspective, the issue here is really not will we have an expanding solar supply chain. I think we will. But I think the real question is how is the division of labor decided? And at the moment, the division of labor is being decided by illegal Chinese subsidies. And that is distorting the whole supply chain, and certainly distorting the market in the U.S.
So Clyde, in your article,
back to my point that we have concept of free trade, and we have laws to maintain that. It's kind of like the stock market. You know, you have regulated stock market, and if you have insider trading, it's good for some people, but it's not sustainable long term.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Gordon, I'm going to come back and ask you once more. If you don't get these tariffs, and they're not confirmed yet, what do you see as the future of the solar industry in this country?
The U.S. solar industry has been competitive on a global basis, and I think, you know, what we really have to point out, this is just not another consumer product. I mean, the countries that control the energy will control the economic future of that country and other countries. You know, and the best way for us to build a free and sustainable solar market in the U.S., which I think we can build because we have a very innovative workforce. We have one of the most productive workforces in the world. This is a high-tech manufacturing industry. And even the National Renewable Energy Laboratories, you know, confirms this is a low labor cost product. Labor is not a large portion of the product's cost.
So the U.S. ought to be competitive. Ned Harvey, are you on the phone to Washington? What are you telling them? Don't confirm these tariffs, you know?
Well, I'm certainly not on the phone with the Department of Commerce. We are on the phone with the DOE every day. We're talking about the future of America's energy system, and we're working hard with them and others in the solar industry around to figure out what is the best way forward for America's energy economy and our economy in general.
But if you have to take a stand, where is it? For the tariff or against it?
Forget the tariffs. Let's just focus on building an industry in the United States that goes way beyond the cells that these tariffs address.
All right. There is a great big view, bigger than the issue itself, but the issue is hot and in front of us right now. It's been really interesting to try and peer into all this with the three of you, and I'm grateful to you for your time. Ned Harvey, Chief Operating Officer at the Rocky Mountain Institute, joining us from Denver. Thank you, Ned.
Thank you.
Gordon Brinzer with Solar World Industries America, joining us from Hillsboro, Oregon. Thank you, Gordon.
Thank you, Tom.
And Clyde Prestowitz at the Economic Strategy Institute. Clyde, thanks as always.
Great to be with you.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.